It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The effect of this is that there is no longer a free and open social media company or site for any American to get on any longer. Because these big companies, Apple, Amazon, Google, they have just destroyed what was likely a billion-dollar company. Poof, it's gone. But it's more than just the financial aspect to that. Republicans have no way to communicate. It doesn't even matter if you're a Republican or conservative. If you don't want to be regulated by left-wingers that are at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where you get shadow banned, nobody gets to see you, they get to decide what's violent or not violent, it's preposterous. So I don't know where the Department of Justice is at right now or the FBI. This is clearly a violation of antitrust, civil rights, the RICO statute. There should be a racketeering investigation on all the people that coordinated this attack on not only a company, but on all of those like us, like me, like you, Maria. I have 3 million followers on Parler. Tonight, I will no longer be able to communicate with those people. And they're Americans. And by the way, unlike the fake social media sites, we know that everybody that's on Parler, because you get certified, there's a number. It's actually a very, very safe platform. And if you break the law on Parler, the FBI can subpoena to find out who those people are. If you break crimes on Facebook and Twitter, good luck. Good luck trying to find out who they are. So Parler has went above and beyond. It's one of the reasons why I didn't go to Parler, 8 months ago because it was a Republican platform. I didn't know if it was Republican or not. I went there because I knew that I could express my thoughts freely and that I knew that the list as I post something was going to be there and that Facebook and Twitter weren't going to be manipulating it.
All right, Sandy Rios with you this morning. That is the most important story that's happened since we last spoke. Happy Monday to you. It is happy. It's happy in the sense that for those of you who know the Lord Jesus, you have joy and hope. Not about the circumstances, but you can have hope because you know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will prevail. The God of all truth will prevail. Maybe not in our lifetime. Maybe not in our lifetime because the battle that we're fighting is deep and spiritual. It is not against flesh and blood, but against forces and principalities and powers that we can't see. That doesn't mean that we don't have a part and we don't have arms and legs and we have to play a part in this and we certainly have to endure the chaos of it. But we know how this ends. And I want to remind you that as I start this morning. All right. Well, big tech moved last night at midnight to destroy the ability of conservatives to communicate with each other. They've been doing this in part for a while. You know this. We've talked about how Facebook has made it you post something and you think it's going out, but they've limited your reach. They've done on Twitter what they call shadow banning, same thing, where you think it's reaching a lot of people, but it isn't. And they've done that consistently, targeting conservative individuals and conservative groups. Facebook has, taken off ads. They did that in this election cycle particularly, targeting conservatives. Then, of course, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg spent millions of dollars in these swing states, Georgia primarily, I think Pennsylvania, and I can't speak for certainly beyond that, but I know there were more, hiring poll workers and training people how to do what they did. So they are not our friend, and Google, of course, has been, they own YouTube, they've been removing for a while now videos of any kind of claim or a story about election fraud. You're not allowed to see it. You're not allowed to hear it. You're not allowed to speak about it. They did that also, of course, with COVID. Nothing that countered the World Health Organization or the leftist media narrative on COVID. And it was followed religiously by Fox and CNN and all the networks. And that's why your neighbors and friends are scared to death, because they've been propagandized. There's been no counter, because Facebook and YouTube and all the media sites have not allowed any counter discussion. They banned the doctors that talked about hydroxychloroquine and tried to bring there were several, not only that long conference that Tea Party Patriots and Jenny Beth Martin sponsored at the Capitol a few months ago, but also those doctors in California, remember, who own a series of clinics all over the state and tried to bring some sense to the discussion. They were banned. So now we've reached a new level. Just to give you an idea, Facebook has removed the walkaway movement. That's the one where Brandon Straka, who was a Democrat, walked away from the Democratic Party. So he says, they banned me and every member of my team, over 500,000 people, and at walkaway with hundreds of thousands of testimonial videos and stories are gone. And so, but it's not just that. Of course, General Flynn, Sidney Powell were removed from Twitter. QAnon accounts also removed. President Trump, that's the biggest fish that they took down from Twitter, banned him. He tried to get back on again. They banned him again. And so last night, Google and Twitter and Amazon, I didn't realize this because I'm not a techie, that Amazon is the one who holds really all the cloud servers. I know the Pentagon nearly gave Amazon a contract to keep all of the secrets of all of our national agencies in their cloud. And there was President Trump stepped in, and that's how that was stopped. Because Amazon's not – Jeff Bezos hates President Trump. And from my knowledge, from my perspective, doesn't love this country. He hates the president, and now he has a monopoly, just like Google, in terms of maybe not the same level, but nearly. Just like Google has like 97% share of the world's internet search, Amazon is moving to have huge percentages of the world's trade and business. You can see how this is developing. So last night they removed Parler. Parler, what's Parler? I've told you about Parler because I've gone on Parler. I've just encouraged you to do that now for probably 6 months. It was in part one of the investors was Dan Bongino. The others that I know about were the Mercer family, who supported President Trump. Parler was a kind of a counter to Twitter, and they were growing by leaps and bounds. Twitter's stock dropped by 4%. Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and Dan Bongino all dropped off of Twitter and others. And so their stocks went down. And so last night was, someone's calling it the night of the tech long knives. Well, the CEO of Parler went on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday, and he kind of laid out what just happened. His name is John Mates, and I want you to hear all that he says. Let's listen.
Is devastating is what it is, and it's an assault on everybody. I mean, they all worked together to make sure at the same time we would lose access to not only our apps, but they're actually shutting all of our servers off tonight, off the internet. So they made an attempt to not only kill the apps, but to actually destroy the entire company. And it's not just these three companies. Every vendor from text message services to email providers to our lawyers all ditched us too on the same day. And they're trying to falsely claim that we were somehow responsible for the events that occurred on the 6th. I mean, it would put anybody out of business. I mean, this they could destroy anybody. If they did this to any app, any company, it would completely destroy them. And we're going to try our best, to get back online as quickly as possible. But we're having a lot of trouble because every vendor we talk to, says they won't work with us. Because if Apple doesn't approve and Google doesn't approve, they won't. And they've given us no legitimate remedy. They've tried to, ask us for, to cooperate with them on a few things. We've tried to give them everything that they wanted, of course, without sacrificing our principles. But there were remedies to do it, and they just don't care. They just don't want us on the internet. They just want to get rid of us. Well, they, like I said, they claim that we somehow were responsible for the you know, what they call the insurrection on the 6th, which, you know, we've never allowed violence. You know, we've never allowed any of this stuff on our platform. And we don't even have a way to coordinate an event on our platform. So they somehow want to make us responsible. And this seems to me like an excuse to just basically eliminate free speech at a convenient time, you know, for them. And it does, because, you know, we've grown so much. We were number one on the App Store the day that we were, you know, removed for quote-unquote violence, and the same day that horrible violence was trending on Twitter. And so it's an obvious double standard. It's obvious collusion, and they're doing it, you know, to stifle free speech and competition in the marketplace. And this could happen to literally anybody. Amazon is the largest cloud storage vendor in the world, and we use them to host our servers, you know, hundreds of them, hundreds of servers. And they gave us basically, they said, you have 24 hours to get all of your data and to find new servers. So, you know, where are you going to find 300 to 500 servers in a 24-hour window? And how can you send all of the data from everybody out to them in a 24-hour period? It's an impossible feat that, you know, we're going to handle as best we can to get back online as quickly as possible. But, you know, this is, there's just some things that are almost basically impossible.
All right, so that's John Mates, the CEO of Parler. And in one fell swoop, in 24 hours, it's probably, or it could be likely, that Google and Amazon and Twitter and Facebook have destroyed a company which was worth, I think they invested $1 billion, something like that, just destroyed it. And worse than that, destroyed the means of communication from a certain subset of people that they hate. They want to stop you from speaking the truth. It reminds me very much of the pattern of totalitarian regimes. It always happens this way, in case you didn't know, because history, we forget, don't we? And some of us never learned it, that when you're trying to take over a government, the first thing you do is take down their communications to the people. That's what you do. And that's why the Nazis, you know, executed people that were caught listening to radios. The Russians did the same thing. You could not have outside information. The North Koreans also executed if you tried to get information. Truth is the enemy in those kinds of regimes. Do you think, really, this is any different? Is this some high and mighty? Is this really, like, justified? Because Parler incited the violence last Wednesday. That's their excuse. Of course, Parler didn't incite that violence. Neither did President Trump. If you listened to his speech, and I did, I watched almost the entire thing on Wednesday. He did not incite violence. That's a lie, but of course it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because lies are what are going to prevail, and this is the way it's going to be. Mark Levin had some interesting remarks last night. Let's listen to clip 7.
Here's the headline the next day after the breach of Capitol Hill in the New York Times. Trump incites mob. Trump never incited the mob. This is projection. This is projection. He never did that. Or the Washington Post. Trump mob storms the Capitol. There were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people there. Trump mob storms the Capitol? That's an awfully broad brush. Or the Daily News. Siege. President incites insurrection. President didn't incite an insurrection. Or the USA Today. Pro-Trump mobs storm U.S. Capitol. How about thugs storm U.S. Capitol? How about lawbreakers storm U.S. Capitol? This is the way it can be reported. Here's the New York Post. Capitol invasion. Okay, fair enough. Here's the Washington Times. Assault on democracy. Okay, fair enough. We shouldn't downplay what happened on Capitol Hill the other day. We should be furious about what happened on Capitol Hill the other day.
Yeah, so then he goes on to say that they're trying to choke the system and trying to just completely silence us. And we know that that's true. So I have a couple of, in the next few days, I hope to give you some alternatives. I've had several come my way, but I haven't had a chance to really think about it. But this one, I will say, of course, talk radio. God bless American Family Radio for being able to speak the truth for now. But I would also say the Epoch Times has become my go-to place. If you are interested in it, you can get it online still, or you might want to, I just got their newspaper, because it might resort to that in order to get truth.
Do you wish you could help end the violence and atrocity of abortion?
My mommy chose life because ICU Mobile was in our community.
Join us at ICU Mobile, the pioneer of mobile medical ministry. We go serve women, go save lives, and go share Christ right in the communities where abortion is happening at the greatest rates all across the country.
We needed help close to home when mommy didn't know how she'd make it with her pregnancy. ICU Mobile shares the gospel of Jesus Christ and shows mommies their babies, like me, every day.
Life-changing transformation happens in the communities that need us most. That's exactly why ICU Mobile chooses to go. 4 of 5 women in our mobile units see their ultrasound and choose life. Visit us now at icumobile.org to make a life-saving contribution. Or text LIVES to 45777. That's LIVES to 45777.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
There is a dangerous mutated strain of the China virus spreading across the United Kingdom. They say it's more infectious than the original virus. A number of European countries have already banned travel to and from the UK, but not the United States. No, our government is still allowing planes to take off and land. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says travelers from the UK will be forced to quarantine once they arrive on our side of the big pond. He says they're also going to send the deputy sheriff out to make sure they're following China virus protocols. Anybody caught violating quarantine faces a $1,000 a day fine. Well, that's all well and good, but it seems to me we're playing Russian roulette with the British. If the mutated strain of the virus is really that dangerous, why in the world are we letting anyone from the UK into America in the first place? Be sure to download my free podcast and newsletter at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You know, just to follow up on what I was saying, that the reason that Radio Free Europe, you may not even know about it, it sprung up during the Cold War because Americans realized the importance of getting the truth to people behind the Iron Curtain because they were completely sealed off from information. I know that we can't, well, now we can kind of imagine what that's like, can't we? Imagine now, tomorrow, there's no American Family Radio. Imagine that you cannot use Gmail because they've shut you out, because that's Google. Imagine that Facebook shuts you down because you're a Christian or you posted pro-Trump things. And don't think any of this could not and might not easily happen. So then where do you get your information? And that's what they want. That's what the left wants. That's what totalitarians, that's what insurrectionists, revolutionaries, that's what they want. They want you to be isolated and not have information. So what could I say about that? I would just say it's important for all of us to know what we believe, to be firmly planted, certainly in God's word, That's why Christians that I've visited or interviewed around the globe in persecuted countries just maybe had more. They maybe. They loved God's word so much they were willing to give their lives, not to give it up, because it was the ultimate source of truth. I've had so many conversations that just broke my heart and convicted me of my lack of valuing of God's word the way they did. Even one or two pages they clung to, because it was the only truth they could get. And so I'm just telling you, it's time to sort of steep ourselves in it. It is the anchor. It is the foundation for all that is to come. It always was. We just forgot because we had a lot of luxuries and comforts. So, and there will be, you know, we'll just have to look for ways to communicate. But I just want to give you the overview of what I think is happening here. You know, when I was chairman of the North Korea Freedom Coalition, North Korea is one of the most oppressed countries in the entire world. It is horrible what they do to their people. Worse, really, I think, it's hard to say, worse than Nazi Germany, because they're abusing their own people. Just horrendous things, and you probably know the story, starving the people, cannibalism, all the things they do in these prison camps, and certainly no information. Remember that I was in North Korea on 9/11, the day that our enemies attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and who knows what else they would have attacked. And we in North Korea for 36 hours knew nothing about that. We knew nothing about that. That's how successful they were at shutting out any kind of news. So then I end up going back to Washington, D.C., and in the North Korea Freedom Act that we managed to pass, part of the provision was that we would find a way to do radio communications to the people of North Korea. We were dropping little radios into North Korea of information, and a lot of it was Christian teaching too. And so that there'll be a way. There'll be a way at great price for a lot of people. But this is kind of the I believe in some form or fashion, to some degree, this is where we're headed. This is what they want. And I don't see anyone fighting back. Do you? I don't see the Justice Department. I don't see the FBI. I don't see, you know, the president is just silenced, and they're trying to get him out. You know, pull him out now. Don't wait till the inauguration day. Just drag him out now. That's what they want. We'll get it to that in just a second if we can, but I have other things to tell you. So that's really what's happening. And then I want to give you just some more perspective of what's happening currently. You will recall, of course, that Antifa has been rioting in Portland now for months, every night, just ravaged that city. It happened in Seattle. It happened in Minneapolis. And so while these things were happening, the media was responding. You know, people were killed. Remember that? People were killed, attacked. Horrendous videos came out of that. But, of course, the mainstream media didn't really show those. And I'll give you an idea of how they covered it. Just to remind you, this is clip 4.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal morally.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
But thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I don't care that much about statues.
Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
What you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and these savages, and all of that. This is how this country was started.
People get mad, and people get sick of it. People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Most of the major movements in American history have started at the grassroots level, and at some point have turned into direct conflict with American government. So remember your history before you judge your present.
Thuggishness is thuggishness wherever it comes from politically, and we should be the first to call it out.
I disagree.
I remember when the, so there you go, it's not thuggishness. I remember the CNN reporter standing in front of the burning buildings while people were rioting, and he's saying that this is not violent. This is a peaceful protest. This is the ridiculousness. I remember, again, when I was a girl, we would hear about all this propaganda from the Russians to their people, the things that they believed in. We would laugh. How could they believe that? How could they believe that? We could not comprehend what it was like to live in a place where you got no information. Well, we're learning, aren't we? We're learning. I just was following a post of some people overseas, and they were, of course, all they know is what Google and Facebook allows them to know. But they think they know everything. They think they're fully informed about what happened in our country last week and on Wednesday. They think they're all over it. They don't even know what they don't know. This is a worldwide problem, the censorship. The Europeans have been way ahead of us on this hate speech control, of all these speech controls. They love it. So we're headed in the same direction, all of us together. It's really interesting, isn't it? It really is interesting as you think of it in light of Scripture. All right, I want to tell you something else now. There's a media outlet called NTD, and they interviewed a reporter who was at the Capitol on Wednesday, because I want to sort some things out. How can we possibly know everything? We can't. But this is the story of this reporter. This is clip 5. Let's listen.
USA! USA!
Around 4 p.m. on Wednesday, an NTD staff member arrived at the Capitol building. Here's what he saw.
When we arrived there, we could see that people were outside on the stairs in front of the building shouting and demanding that the Congress, they called them the traitors, and they were very angry and upset about it, but peaceful.
Trey went there after learning that protesters breached the Capitol building early that afternoon. By the time he got there, protesters were gathering around the building, and police occasionally threw tear gas to stop people from getting in.
But outside, people were just gathering, peaceful, standing, watching what was unfolding.
But half an hour later, police started clearing the crowd without warning.
What I would have expected is that the police is giving an announcement, we are clearing the area, please leave the area peacefully, otherwise we will do this and this and that. They didn't do that.
Instead, the police were marching towards the crowd, hitting their shields with batons, and at one point started pushing away protesters.
They pushed forward, waited a second, pushed forward, and waited a second. And just exactly this, pushing forward creates a lot of stress, because suddenly the people have to leave, and they don't want to leave because they are protesting there. And they have no way so immediately to run away, because there are other people behind them.
And there was another problem.
It was a limited area. It was like the balcony, the stairs, and the whole area. It was limited. So the people couldn't even leave quickly, as quickly as they were advancing. So they had no choice.
Among the chaos, a protester was injured.
And he was lying on the ground. So then the police stopped a little bit. The protesters were around this person trying to help him, because he was bleeding all over the place, and I filmed that as well. And they stopped there for a moment, because he was really, badly hurt.
And other protesters were helping those who were sprayed by tear gas.
Good, brother. All right, you're good. Let us sit for a few minutes and you'll be all right.
All right, man, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
I love you, man.
I love you.
I love all of you. Let's keep going.
Police cleared away the crowd at around 5 p.m., and protesters started leaving the area. Juliet Song, NTD News.
All right, that's the first part of that report. I want you to hear more of it. But the tragedy is, of course, that 5 people died. Now, that's an interesting story in itself. We know that the female was killed and shot in the neck by a police officer in the Capitol. I think there's an I know there is an investigation about that. Who knows if it will be fair or not? I just don't know. I really don't know. She was 36, and you know she was an Air Force veteran, had served four terms overseas. My legal friends tell me that no matter what, she was unarmed, and the officer should not have shot her in that manner. And no matter, you know, she was trying to climb through a window, and she shouldn't have. She's been warned to stop, that's for sure. So that's an interesting situation, and something that we can't possibly know all the details about it. But now we have these police officers. One, my understanding is that three people died of natural cause. They died, of something else besides, any part of any kind of altercation in the Capitol. Now, Ashley was killed by a Capitol policeman. Also, a Capitol police officer, it's been reported that he was, he died from excessive force. Now, hang on just a second, because I want to get to this. It's Brian Sicknick. And let me just tell you a little bit about him, because, boy, this is sickening. I have to say, he was a, I don't have this in front of me, but he was a very strong Trump supporter. He was a veteran. He was certainly not a sympathizer to Antifa, Black Lives Matter, but he was a police officer executing his duties. And it's been reported that he was killed by, now why can't I find this exact wording, because I wanted to, that he was hit by a baton and murdered by someone in that crowd. That's what the report is. And I've actually been told that there's video of that, but then on the other end, I've read there isn't video of it. So this is the kind of thing we have to be careful with. We really don't know. His family has come out to say a few things, and that I think we can probably trust. They said, okay, here's the story. They said that Brian Sicknick was hit on the head with a fire extinguisher. But his brother, he was quoted by, I'll read this. It quoted ProPublica, did a different telling of the story. It quoted Ken Sicknick, whom the site identified as the late officer's brother, saying that Brian Sicknick had communicated with his family and never mentioned a fire extinguisher attack. He texted me last night and said, I got pepper sprayed twice and he was in good shape. Apparently, he collapsed in the Capitol and they resuscitated him using CPR. And then Thursday, family members were told that the officer had a blood clot and suffered a stroke and was on a ventilator. So I don't, ABC reported that the video of the alleged fire extinguisher attack has not been found. And yet everyone has believed, as is always the case, whatever the first story is that goes out, have believed that Brian Sicknick was killed by one of the protesters, hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. But his family says that's not true. We'll see if they come out and say, oh, yes, it was true. But it sounds like that's the truth there. The other story that's just came out this morning was one of the policemen who was called into the riots, who was a 20-year veteran of this. His name was Officer Liebengood, committed suicide over the weekend. No one knows why. His father, his late father, also served as Sergeant of Arms at Arms for the Senate. So he has a long family history of defending or being involved in that building. So no one seems to know what that's all about, but it's just another tragedy that came from Wednesday. Well, maybe. You know, who knows? We don't know why this officer committed suicide. We have no idea. You can extrapolate. If he had personal problems or if it was something he saw in the riots, if it was, who knows? I know what my thoughts are, but they're only speculation and I don't think I should share them. But I don't know. And so two policemen are dead from that. And then I think there were some other natural deaths. So that's just the thing we have to sort out. But now here's something that I certainly got wrong. And I want to tell you that I got it wrong. Hang on a second. I got to find this one. You remember the guy in the Viking outfit with the hat and the horns, with a bare chest. Now I had everything was coming out at once. He's from Arizona. They said he's a shaman and a climate activist. Well, I think it may be true. Maybe he was just pretending. I don't know. But I heard a video of him yesterday. He's been arrested. Jacob Anthony Chansley, known as Jake Angeli. I heard him interviewed yesterday in a short clip. And he was so coherent, and he's a very strong Trump supporter. So I suspected that he was Antifa just based on his appearance, and I was wrong about that. So I just want to tell you that. So you can be wrong about these things. But now here's some other really amazing, well, actually, I better save this. There's the music, because I don't want to have to rush. But we have more information about Antifa and their involvement on Wednesday. And then, of course, there's been lots of arrests of Trump supporters. So these are the things I want you to know while I can still tell you, okay? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Have your dreams been shattered? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Somebody told me early in my ministry, he said, you know, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience. And I don't know what your need is today, but God does his best work in the midst of broken, shattered dreams.
Find real hope in Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A popular effort in social revisionism is happening, where racism, which is better described in biblical terms as skin color-based partiality, is a crime of which only people of lighter skin color can be guilty. Let's be clear. Factions, divisions, and dissensions, including those based on skin color, are the fruit of the sinful flesh. The root cause of partiality is sin. Every person, regardless of the quantity of melanin in their skin, is capable of partiality. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Joe Biden's stolen election has been certified by Congress, so he'll be our next president for good or ill. Meanwhile, we must never forget the proud legacy that President Trump has left behind. He did more to protect the sanctity of life than any president in our history. He did more to protect religious liberty than any president since the founders. He did more to protect the Constitution through his judicial appointments than any president before him. He protected American sovereignty by securing our southern border. He led an astounding economic recovery that provided more jobs for more Americans of all races than any president before him. He led us to energy independence and restored America to its place as the greatest force for good on planet Earth. Mr. President, I salute you and thank God for you.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. German poet Martin Niemöller famously described how Nazis achieved absolute power, warning, quote, "First they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew," unquote. He remained silent when they came for other groups of which he was also not a part. When they came for him, there was no one left to help. Partisans whose totalitarian tendencies are becoming ever more apparent are now coming for Donald Trump and his supporters. They seek the president's immediate removal from office and, in the meantime, are eliminating his and his allies' access to communications platforms. They are ramping up economic warfare against like-minded businesses and are threatening any that might serve or hire Trump-tied individuals. You may not be affected so far, but make no mistake, unless this stops, they will, in due course, come for you. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You know, I told you last week, Sandy Rios back with you, that we had some screenshots of Antifa telling people to come to the protests to wear Trump hats and Trump paraphernalia. They told them to wear them backwards. They used gas masks, and they wrote press on them. And you could see a lot of pictures of those. Now, look, I'm not saying that every person in that crowd was Antifa. I'm not saying that. And we don't know, you know, if Trump supporters actually perpetrated some illegal acts. I mean, and it's also hard to say because the Capitol Police, in some shots, are fighting people. And in other shots, they're opening the gates and letting them go in and kind of walking up the steps with them. It's very hard to discern what actually happened last Wednesday. Well, the NTD, the same outlet that I discussed earlier, had another part of their video which describes what this reporter saw on Wednesday. Let's listen.
Trump supporters have largely been blamed for the violence against police officers and property, but video footage appears to show a different story. This video, taken by NTD's on-the-ground reporters, shows Trump supporters trying to stop the people smashing windows of the Capitol building and calling them Antifa. You can hear them saying, "Anyone who does this is not with us." It appears other protesters grab his leg and pull him down to stop him from breaking the window. Other videos show pro-Trump protesters booing those breaking in and calling them Antifa. This video appears to show them trying to stop the people smashing windows and shoving them towards the police. We do know that many genuine Trump supporters did make it inside the barricades of the Capitol building. A number of them say they didn't use violence to get in, but were let in. In this video, police appear to open the barricades. Zach Voorhees, a former Google employee turned whistleblower, recorded a video of a Trump supporter who left the rally after things turned violent. He claims he overheard a plot to make Trump supporters look bad.
They were dressed as Trump supporters, but I could tell by their conversation that they were looking to do, and I heard them say, "We got to shake this up so that these people look bad." And I saw them break a window on the Capitol.
Wednesday night, Congressman Mo Brooks urged people to not rush judgment on who assaulted the Capitol building. Brooks said on Twitter that another congressman told him that intelligence suggested Antifa was going to try to infiltrate the rally by dressing like Trump supporters. One protester who was at the forefront inside the Capitol and witnessed a woman getting shot has been identified as John Sullivan. He told 2KUTV News that he didn't support President Trump, but attended the protest to document it. Sullivan is a Black Lives Matter activist and the founder of Insurgents USA. On January 1st, he urged comrades to show up to the January 6th march. He wrote on Twitter, "We need numbers to show up, no fascist in D.C. March against fascism, spread the word, comrades. Hashtag F Trump, hashtag Antifa." He was also arrested in July for allegedly rioting and making threats of violence. In video captured by BG On The Scene, he can be heard saying to other BLM activists that they need to rip Trump out of office and start a revolution.
"We got to rip Trump out of that office right over there. I want y'all to be after me. It's time for a revolution."
Much is still unknown about who exactly smashed the windows of the Capitol and what their intentions were. An investigation is underway. Grace Coulter, NTD News.
All right, so we'll put that entire video on our Facebook so that you can watch it and share it with others if you can. You know, while you can, try to do that. I think that would be kind of important. I would say, I told you yesterday, when I saw the guy in the trench coat, kind of shabby trench coat, I thought, certainly not a Washington, D.C. overcoat, because I've seen many of them. They're very elegant. And long hair. I'm profiling. Yes, I am. Taking like a military shield, glass shield, and breaking the window, the one where the Ashley tried to enter into the Capitol. He broke the window with this glass piece. It reminded me of all those all the video we've seen of Antifa in Seattle and in Portland doing the same thing. They're very skilled at breaking glass. They do this beautifully. Do you think for a minute? Let me put it this way. I'm not saying no Trump supporters capable of doing that, but do you think that the people that in all of these rallies for all of these years, the 4 years and before that, when he was running for election, had a pattern of breaking windows and rioting and beating police? Really? You know, I want to say this. We now through this is Gateway Pundit. I got this yesterday. They've captured a video of, they say, Antifa, and I don't know why we would doubt that, someone handing pipes through an opening in the Capitol to other people, handing weapons through this window. And then we saw later in the video, we see people in the crowd hitting police with these pipe-like weapons. So this is why, Antifa did organize a rally that day, and they also brought in a lot of buses, we've just learned. And here's one of the advertisements they used. Let's see if I can say this. Yes, I can. Shows a picture of President Trump, like a bad picture of him, of course, making him look horrible, evil, and says, kick these fascists out of D.C. January 6th, 2021. Dump Trump for good. Location, Washington Monument, 11 a.m. All right, so then we get back to the John Sullivan that was just mentioned in that clip. John Sullivan, of course, is from what, Oregon? I think it is, she said. And he has a history. He actually said that Black Lives Matter sent a bus of radicals for the Stop the Steal rally. He's from Utah. He leads insurgency groups. And we actually have a longer clip of him, but I don't. Yeah, we should listen to it. It's just a minute long. This is John Sullivan winding up for the pitch. And he was certainly one of those in the Capitol on Wednesday. I guess, you know, a newfound Trump supporter. But listen to him a bit ago, encouraging people to revolt. Let's clip nine.
A whole bunch of white militia came out there, formed against our group. We out there strapped. We out there ready to burn that down. We out there to defend ourselves. We got to defend ourselves now, too. We do. Because power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Right. We got rip Trump out of that office right over there. Pull him out that. Nah, we ain't about waiting till the next election. We about to go get. I ain't about that. Because you know what time it is? I want y'all to be after me. It's time
for revolution.
It's time
for revolution.
It's time
for revolution.
Thank you guys. I appreciate y'all. Be safe. Be blessed.
Be blessed. So I'm not sure who's going to bless them. Which God, you know, John, did you have in mind? But he was inside the Capitol. He was one of the Trump protesters inside the Capitol. And, of course, I'm sure he didn't do anything. Well, the police must not think so because they let him go. Someone else overheard a conversation with him where he said they let him go. He's been released. Meanwhile, other people have not been released, and they seem to be Trump supporters. I'll just rattle off a few. Richard Barnett. Now, I don't know anything about them, and maybe they did something horrible. I don't know. Richard Barnett from Arkansas, arrested this morning. Barnett was charged with entering and remaining in a restricted building and grounds without authority. He's also charged for violent injury and disorderly conduct on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol and for theft of public money or public property. The media showed him casually sitting with his foot on the desk inside Pelosi's office. He was seen taking mail and leaving a quarter on the desk. Derek Evans, a Republican member of the West Virginia House of Delegates, was one of the protesters who stormed the Capitol. He's been charged with entering a restricted area and entering the Capitol. And then Lonnie Kaufman, who was from Alabama. And they found, now this sounds much more serious, they found 11 Molotov cocktails as well as firearms and an M4 carbine assault rifle. And then another one, Mark Leffingwell, was charged with entering the Senate side of the Capitol and pushing officers. He's also accused of punching an officer in the helmet and chest. All right, so the FBI is going after these folk with a vengeance. John Sullivan, not so much. And I have to say, that's kind of, I think, the reason why people are so angry. When the Supreme Court will not do anything, they fold their hands and sit in their robes and do nothing. When they could have done something, they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get involved. When Republican leadership doesn't want to do anything about elections, which we all know because we watched the hearings, most of us, many of us, watched hours of those hearings where American citizens poured out their hearts and what they had seen, many of them experts in their field, about what they had seen, and Congress wouldn't even look at the evidence. The courts never looked at the evidence. It causes tremendous frustration. This is the kind of thing that brings revolts in other ways. And so we have a vortex of, we have a terrible vortex of inaction, cowardice, and then the other side not being cowards, knowing exactly what they want to do, stepping into the breach. And we have people like Mitch McConnell leading us, who is nothing more than maybe this is the nicest description, the Neville Chamberlain of his time. Neville Chamberlain was the Chancellor of Great Britain during the Nazi invasion, and he was just, you know what, I know they took another country, but, you know, we don't really want to go to war. And then they took another country, but, you know, we don't really want to confront them. That was Neville Chamberlain, you know, just never wanted to do anything. And that's why Winston Churchill came in and was elected by the people. So we've had our Winston Churchill. It was Donald Trump. He wanted to fight for this country, and he wanted to fight for the Constitution. I'm just thinking about all the people that I know who served in that administration and all the wonderful things they've done. I know people that were working well into the night over the weekend trying to enact like rules and regulations that would help you, that would preserve human life, that would anything they can do to help. In this last few weeks, I guess maybe that's why Nancy Pelosi wants President Trump out of there right now, yesterday. Get him out of there, because there are still some things he can do as acting president that they don't like. So now they want to impeach him. They're trying to pressure Mike Pence into invoking the 25th Amendment, which is something that the cabinet members have to do, declaring the president, you know, unfit for office. They want him out. They want him out now. They want him out. He only has a few more days to serve. Why do you think the impetus is? What's the hurry? And why do they have to take him off of Twitter and silence him? Well, you can figure that out, can't you? So he used to say, President Trump said, you know, it looks like they're after me, but I'm really the barrier between you and this horrible force of wickedness. I am the one standing between you and this disaster. And he was absolutely right. He is absolutely right. And one other story I wanted to share with you. We're finding out that Muriel Bowser, the mayor of the District of Columbia, in writing, posted a letter explaining that she didn't want extra federal law enforcement personnel in D.C. on Wednesday. She put it in writing, and she also sent a letter to Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, and Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. No, we don't need help. And so we also know, because Louis Gohmert and Mo Brooks has told us, and because they have access to information that we don't, that the Capitol Police and the rest of whoever the powers that be knew that Antifa and others were planning on infiltrating the Trump supporters and creating chaos and trouble. But they didn't prepare, did they? Now, looking to this week, Shutdown D.C. has written this: Wednesday's coup attempt at the Capitol was a travesty on many levels. On Friday, we joined Remove Trump to display a banner with the impeachment clause of the U.S. Constitution in front of the Capitol. Soon after, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that the House will start impeachment proceedings against Trump tomorrow. But we're not done. This Wednesday at noon, we are returning to the Capitol to call on Congress to expel the representatives and senators who gave support to the coup by attempting to overturn the results of the presidential election. And so it continues. And I have a clip of Joe Biden comparing Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley to Goebbels, the German propagandist, the Nazi propagandist. Ted Cruz, this is coming out of your future president's president-elect, his mouth. Cruz and Hawley are like a Nazi propagandist. Well, all right, so peaceful. So much for the peaceful transition of power. And this is an important week, and I just want you to remember who it is you serve. And he's not surprised by this. He's not out of control. But right now, we got a fight on our hands, and as much as we can, we have to fight. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.